Hallelujah. So, I'm teaching on pneumatic. This will be 7. Getting closer. Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and I am with you always, to the end of the age. Now, he said that what the disciples will be taught will be concerning spiritual, right? Which is heaven and earth. Right? I will say that heaven will mean what will imply spirituals, right? Right? Heaven is used for the resurrection of Christ. So we say the believer is spiritual because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at the new birth. Therefore, Paul writes to them, that is the church at Corinth. Right? Paul writes to them, the church at Corinth, by extension, the body of Christ, as regards this reality. What is this reality? Concerning things in and of the spirit, pneumaticos. And Paul writes to them because of their conduct when they gather together. That will be the background. 1 Corinthians 11, 17 to 23. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now we said charisma, the charisma of God is the spirit. Was that what we said?
Yes, sir.
That the charisma of God is the spirit. The charisma of God is the spirit. We also said that with the use of the word diversities, or we also said the word diversity implies different parts of the same. Was that what we said? Diaresis, different parts of the same. So the gifts, the ministries, and the operations are all in the spirit. Right? The gifts, the operations, and the ministries are all in the spirit. Let's look at that verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the spirit is given to everyone for the profit of all. That word manifestation, we'll look at it again, is the word phanerosis. Phanerosis. It implies to make visible an unveiling of, to bring to the fore. So when it says manifestations of the Spirit, when he says the manifestation, remember before now we said in the manifestation of the Spirit, he mentions the 9, right?
Yes,
take note of the words I use. He said in the manifestations of the Spirit, you have the 9. He mentions 9 gifts or 9 faculties. Was that what I said? Yes. So in that manifestation, we'll have the 9 charismas, right?
Charismas. Oh my God. Permit me.
Sorry for my increase. You just laugh at me. Okay. Hallelujah. We have the 9 abilities, endowments. We'll get to see that soon. Hallelujah. So when he says manifestation of the Spirit, it implies verses 4 to verses 6. So that manifestation of the Spirit is what? Diversities, differences in gifts, differences in operation, differences in ministries. Do you understand? So that is what Paul calls the manifestation of the Spirit.
Did you get that?
That is what Paul called the manifestation of the Spirit.
Or put it this way, in the manifestation of the Spirit also, you would have the differences in gifts, right? Differences, diverses, part of the same differences in gifts, in the ministries, and in the operations. You have it. Are you following me? So, we will now ask ourselves the question, at what point was the Spirit made visible? At what point was the Spirit made visible? At what point was the Spirit revealed? Remember the word manifestation, phanerosis, is to make visible, right? It implied an unveiling, right? At what point was the Spirit unveiled? That shouldn't be a hard one for you. It's unveiled where? At the indwelling. So the new birth is the manifestation of the Spirit, where you have what? The diuresis in ministries, the diuresis in gifts, the diuresis in operation. Do you understand? It's in the new birth you have it, in the indwelling of the Spirit. So the new birth is the leading of the Spirit. Do you understand me? So when you now hear the diuresis, they are all found in the Spirit. So the ministries, the operation, and the gifts are where? In the Spirit. So what is Paul teaching? We can say Paul is teaching from Moses. Moses, Exodus 35, from verse 10 to 29. Paul is teaching from Moses. Exodus 35. So you read from from verse 10 to 39. You discover that the gifts were brought and kept in the tabernacle. The gifts were brought and kept in the tabernacle. Hallelujah. The gifts were brought and kept in the tabernacle under the Old Testament. Now, the gifts will remain in the tabernacle. This will be vital as we study the gifts. Do you understand me? The gifts will remain where? In the tabernacle. Do you understand me? The gifts will remain in the tabernacle. So as we get to study the gift, you should have that in your mind. The gift will remain in the tabernacle. And it says we are the temple. So the gift will be where? In the tabernacle, will be in the Spirit. Do you understand me? So as we get to verses 11, we will understand that too very well. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay. In back to 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7. So remember we've just said that the manifestation, said the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit with that. So we've said earlier that the manifestation is the unveiling of the Spirit, right? Right? Which is the giving of the Spirit. So Paul went further to say it is for profiting of the church. For the profiting of the church. He said to profit with that. That is the word son Pharaoh. Was that what I said? Yeah. It's a compound word of son and Pharaoh. Son means or implies together, union or together. Union or together, son. The word Pharaoh is to bear or to carry. To bear or to carry. To bear or to carry. So we can say that the word profits without will imply for the common good, advantage or benefit. Do you understand me? So when Paul said for the profits of all, it means for the common good of all, for the benefit of all, to the advantage of all. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
So we say that the manifestation of the Spirit, that is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, is for the common good of everyone who is in the body of Christ. Everyone, the ecclesia of Christ. The ecclesia of Christ. Everyone in the ecclesia of Christ. It's for the common good of everyone in the ecclesia. Are you following that? So at the background, the expression of the Spirit is for the common good, benefit of the body of Christ, which in chapter 14, we will find Paul used the word edification of the church. We've seen that earlier on, right? We saw that earlier on in the previous session. For the benefit of all. So we can see here that Paul's emphasis on spiritual is in the church. Is in the church. So when he speaks of ministries in verse 13 to 30, he brings it in the one body. Do you understand me? When he speaks of ministries, he brings it in the one body and says it is Christ in the resurrection. Look at verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 12. He said, now you are member of now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So he says, he brings it in one body, and says it is Christ in his resurrection. So we are members of his body. Hallelujah. Look at verse 28. Something not to lose out. He said, and has appointed this in the church. Now, is he calling the body the church? Yes. Do you understand me? So the body of Christ is his ecclesia, is his church. Do you understand me? In fact, for him to be called the ecclesia, the Messiah, or just like say, for him to be called his ecclesia, it shows that he will reign in that ecclesia. Do you understand me? That means he will be the head of that ecclesia. Do you understand me? In the same way, for him to be called the Sota, he must be with the people. Which is, for him to be called the Savior, the Messiah. Messiah is actually Jewish. Paul will now, or it will now be translated as what? In the Greek, not translated as what? Savior. For him to be called the Savior, the Sota, he must be found among the people that he saves. Do you understand me? So for him to be called the soldier, he must be found among his soldiers. Those that those he has saved. Are you following that? Okay. So the word church in verse 28 is the word ecclesia, as I've said. It applies to call out. To call out from. That is what ecclesia, to call out from, to do a specific purpose or for a specific purpose. Tell us something. We need that video. We need to get, or we need to hold on to that definition or that word. Ecclesia is used for, or it implies to call out to do something for a purpose. Do you understand? Ecclesia.
Church.
Yeah, church. Hallelujah. That is Matthew 16, verse 18. Let's get to Matthew 16, 18. Okay, hallelujah. So let's take this down. Matthew 16, verse 18. Says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gate of Hades shall not prevail against it. He says, you are Peter.
And upon this rock I'll build my church, the gate of hell will not prevail against it. Let's take note of that one. I will build. Or that word will build is the word oikodomio. Oikodomio. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E-O. Oikodomio. A word that is used for what is already done and standing. So when you hear the word, I will build my church, it's not like it's something that is continuously being done. No. Say, I will build my church. It's used for what has been done and already and standing. Now, I'll tell you, and standing, not used for an ongoing work. How? You find it in Matthew 21, verse 33. We've done this study before. Let's just look at it. Matthew 21, just a few chapters after he made that statement. Matthew 21, verses 33. It says, here another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, and dug wine press and built, that's what oikodomio, a tower. It's not and is building, and built a tower. And he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. Did you see that? Built a tower. Verse 42. And Jesus said to them, have you not never read in the scripture, the stone which the builders reject has become the chief cornerstone? And this is what the Lord is doing, and it's marvelous in our sights. Sorry, I guess I missed that. Keep looking there. Check that out. I'm thinking about what you just but I missed that one. Look at Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will liken him to the wise man who built. That's the word. Built what has been done. 26. 25. And the wind descended and the flood came and blew towards the fountain of the rock. Therefore, everyone who hears these things of mine and does which does not do will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. That's the word built, oikodomio, used two times in these verses. Now, Matthew 23:29, you find it there as built also. Matthew 26:61. Matthew 26:61. And thus this fellow said, now this is the accusation, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Build. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Matthew 27:40. Same accusation, and said, you who destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Those mockery words. So it's used for what is built or what is not. It's not used for an ongoing work. No. Matthew 7:47 from Stephen, 49. Matthew 9:31, 20:32. Romans 15:20. 1 Corinthians 8:1, 8:10, 10:23. So when he uses the word, I will build my church, he's not talking about what he will keep doing. No, he's talking about what will happen. What will happen in the resurrection. That's what he's talking about. What will happen in the resurrection that will remain. Generally, we'll get here to see that now. Because at the point of Jesus speaking, he has not done it, he has not built the church. So he said, I will build it. So that use of the word build is not that I will keep building, no. I will build it one time for all. Hallelujah. Are you following that? I will build my church for you to do. I will build my church. So when he said the gates of hell, say the gates of hell. Now the word hell is from the Greek word Hades. Hades. It is the word that implies the place of the dead. The place of the dead. Meaning what Jesus is saying here is that death will not stop him from building the church. What he's saying is that the gate of hell will not prevail. Meaning death will not stop me. Death will not stop me. It therefore implies that at the resurrection, Christ built his church. Do you understand me? At the resurrection, the church is built. Now, Paul will now call the church the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. The church is the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Take note of that. The church. I will build my church. Remember that word? Ecclesia is Moses' language, but it's used for the children of Israel. Right? It's used for the children of Israel. They are gathering in the wilderness. Those that came out from Egypt. Right? They are gathering in the wilderness. They are coming out of Egypt and gathering in the wilderness. It's called church. Do you understand me? So their union with Moses in the wilderness is called church. Do you understand? So the Israelites, now that season is called church. Now, when they gather together in the synagogue, it's called church. Do you understand? So now, Jesus will now use that word, that analogy for the church, his church. Say, I will build my church. When people say, I will build my church, it means he is the head of the church. Do you understand? He is the head of the church. He said, I will build my church, the gate of hell will not prevail. This is his church. So nowhere is anybody, an individual, called the church of Christ. Nowhere is one individual, one person, called the church of Christ. Only means the body of Christ. Only means the church of Christ. No. Do you understand me? An individual is not the church of Christ. Are you hearing me? An individual is not the church of Christ. Rather, the word church is used for those who have believed the gospel. So our believing the gospel, remember I just said the church is used for the body of Christ. Meaning our identification in Christ is called church. Do you understand? Our union in Christ is called church. Are you following me? Our union in Christ is called what? Church. So we are not together in the same place, but that union, the fact that we are united in Christ, we are the church of Christ together. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Not going to say me alone am the church of Christ. No, no individual is called the church. Do you understand? So also, it's used for our union in Christ, our gathering in Christ, and also use of our gathering together when we come together physically. It's called church. So you don't lose that. So church will be our gathering together. So that, you know, we need to explain this word church again, because we said what, or the word ecclesia, because we say what? The manifestation of the Spirit will be found where? in the body, right? It's for the prophecy, common good of everyone in the church. So we need to know who the church is. Do you understand me? So our gathering together is called church. Our gathering in a place is called church. When brothers are together, it's called church. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
So, you know, Jesus went ahead to also explain. They went two or three, right? And gathered together in my name. Say, there am I in the midst of them. That two or three, that read in his name, that is believers, right? Once you have two, more than one, two, three, that gathering is called church. Do you understand? That gathering is called church. So take your eyes off the cathedrals, the church, we are church. Do you understand? Are you following that? Your church.
Hallelujah.
But sir, if it is a church, you must have a name. Be quiet. The name is Church of Christ. Do you understand? His church. Do you understand? I hear you. Was that a real name? Come, let me give you a con. No, there's no thing wrong with a con. Let me give you a con. You understand? You understand that? So our gathering is called church. So in Acts 7:38, it's used of the gathering in the wilderness. Mostly, in the book of Acts, you discover that the gathering, physical gathering, is called what, church. I know you can't take that out because it's an eyewitness account. You know what I mean? So they will call the gathering together because you have, it's an eyewitness report account. So you have the gathering called church. Do you get that? So that gathering is called church. So we mustn't lose that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what Paul is saying is that when it comes to the things of the Spirit, I must focus on the church, the ecclesia. My focus must be on the gathering of brethren. So my focus is not myself, it's on that gathering. Do you understand? So we can be two and three and just flow in the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? It's called church. We edify ourselves. Do you understand? You don't want to pray to get to 50. No. Do you understand? Aha. We'll flow on the same capacity. Like a believer's meeting. Do you understand? We can have believer's meeting. Not necessarily inside a building. We can just walk on the road. And then we'll just have our believer's meeting. Because we're going to the Father, we are the Church of Christ. We are the Church of Christ. Together. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We are called church together. So we cannot satisfy ourselves. No showmanship. No, no showmanship. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And you know, the end point is for what? The common good. Common good. Common good. Don't want to lose sight of that. Common good. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You know, the believer must always be on the alert. I don't know. This is not part of what I'm teaching. But, you know, I just felt led to say this. No, the believer was always just be on their alert. And recognize that we are church. In the twos and in the threes, when we come together. And not restrain to flow in the Spirit. You know? And not restrain. You know, sometimes we just say, this is not the church, this is not the church place. No, just flow. Just be on the alert. There's nothing wrong in you stepping out of your hands and say, I function in the utterance gift, I function in the revelation gift. But the power gift, as I go out, I will refine the church much more today. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying those words on a daily basis. I'm making it a lifestyle. You know, you just need to be on the edge at all times. Just be on the edge at all times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, hallelujah. So, you know, you must always recognize You must always recognize the fact that we are the church of God, church of Christ, when we come together. Take away the familiarity and see yourself as a church. Take away the familiarity. Just take it away. Take it away. And see yourself as church. So you can flow on that pedestal. You can flow on that stream that we are the church of Christ together. Hallelujah. And this gathering is called the church of Christ. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So you know, you can't just restrict the gathering of brethren to just football. No, it's not football. It's not football at all. It's false. We're false the church. 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 Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And just flow our walk in your own. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
So let's close it up here. Let's close it up here. Hallelujah. Let's close it up here. And see this too. So I must focus on the church of Christ. My focus is on the church, the ecclesia. So we can say in essence that the pneumaticals is practiced in the ecclesia. Those are the pneumaticals, the pneuma rather. The pneuma is practiced in the ecclesia. The ecclesia. Hallelujah. See any believer who doesn't walk, who doesn't place the ecclesia first. See a believer who is walking, who is not walking in the spirit. See a believer who is not walking in the spirit. Show me a believer who doesn't look at the ecclesia first. I'll show you a believer who has left the Lord's work. Because the Lord's work is practiced in the ecclesia first. First, Paul wrote to the church at Galatians. He said, do good to those who are of the household of faith. First. So the ecclesia, first. Not yourself, first. Not your belly, first. Not your food, first. Not your salary. No, it's not that first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Edification. So I want to edify. I want to now flow with the word of knowledge. I'm not talking about word of knowledge today, but I'm just trying to give you an example. On the flow of the revelation gift. In on the flow of the revelation gift, will it bring edification? Should it bring edification? So that means in flowing with the revelation gift, I must be intelligent to know that the end point of revelation gift, power gift, and not trans gift is for what?
Edification.
So I must take fear out of it. The brother or the sister, having heard the words, haven't heard the revelation, haven't heard the utterance that I gave, must not stand up fear in his heart. If he stands up fear in his heart or in her heart, it's not from God. Are you hearing me? He must not stand up fear. He must bring edification. He must bring edification. Even when it is a rebuke, it does not bring fear. Are you hearing me? When it is a rebuke, it does not bring fear. No, to bring edification. That's what Paul wrote. That's what is in the scriptures. Edification. Some fellow, common good. No fear. Hallelujah. So that means I can know the person, or I can know when one is giving me a word, by utterance or by revelation, if the person has switched to the flesh, easily. I can know. One when fear comes in. I can know. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Especially most very importantly when you two are functioning in the spirit. Hallelujah. Because sometimes the word can come and you are just kind of to take it in fear. Hallelujah. Even when it is a rebuke, it doesn't bring fear. No, it's edification. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Faith and fear don't flow on the same pedestal. Are you hearing me? Faith and fear doesn't flow on the same pedestal. So Paul said it's for edification. Edification means to be built up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To be built up. to be built up. It might be seen. You see the options. The revelation, most of the altars that revelation means, you have, see, in it you have correction, you have training, you have teaching. I know in teaching you have correction, you have rebuke. Do you understand me? You have rebuke. Make sure you have that. You know you have rebuke in teaching. So therefore, in the offerings, in the revelation, you would have rebuke also. I am. You have rebuke also. You have correction, strengthening, epatolosis. You also have instruction, righteousness. You have instruction. You will receive direction. Hallelujah. So even with the correction, there will be direction. I am. Even with the rebuke, there will be direction. I am. So you know, you get intelligent. Hallelujah. I am me. You get intelligent. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. So the pneuma is practiced in the ecclesia. So in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul now went ahead to mention the 9 diversities of the spirit, or the 9, measure the diversities of gifts in the spirit. He mentioned the diversity of gifts, and he mentioned 9. Now this 9,
word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment of spirit. Discernment of spirit, gift of faith, gift of healing, working of miracles, tongues, interpretation, prophecy. Now when he mentions these nine are endowment,
9 abilities of the spirit. Abilities of the spirit that are in our spirit. Hallelujah. 9 abilities, faculties, endowment of the spirit. And in verse 11 said they are all of the same, they are all in the same spirit. So, and we have the spirit. Hallelujah. They are found in the spirit. Glory to God. So next we will look at the operation of the gifts. Again, that's what we'll look at all through next week. The operation. So he said there are diversities of operation. We're going to look at that operation before we even get to talk about the gifts. Hallelujah. How is the operation of the gifts? Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Have we learned something today?
Yes, sir.
Let's just get our faith.